Speaking of them purposes, so the Chumash says you give five slime. How much are five slime? So there are, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in the first parak, how much is a pruta? Kiddusha Isha is a machlek, is Bisham and Bisil. We pass on the Kiddusha Isha is the pruta. How much is a pruta? So the Gemara says one of the Amoraim thought that a pruta means the smallest coin in the monetary system, whatever the monetary system happens to be. So then the Gemara says that that's not correct. So the Gemara never tells you how much is a pruta. Much as says you shouldn't think that a pruta means the smallest coin. What is a pruta? So the Ramban wrote a sefer that's called Hilchas Becheiros. We have the riff on Brachas, on Shabbos, on Erevin. We don't have any riff on those Mesichtes which are not Nagei LaHalacha. So the riff didn't write on Becheiros. So the Ramban wrote, the riff is called the Hilchas HaRab Alphas. So the Ramban wrote Hilchas HaRamban, Halachas on the style of the riff on Becheiros, on those parts done in Nagei LaHalacha. So he has a whole section about the laws of Challah. He has a big section about the laws of Pinyin HaBen. So he discusses how much is a pruta. The Gemara just raised the possibility. How much is a pruta? It's not the smallest coin. So he says, we have a tradition from the Gaonim that the pruta is Mishkal Chatzi Seora Kesev Zakuk. If you take a barley, if you take an average-sized barley grain, what's an average-sized barley grain? Probably have to take a million barley grains in order to figure out what's average. And you cut it exactly in half, and you put it on a half of a barley grain, average-sized barley grain. You put it on one side of the scale. How much pure silver will you have to put on the other side of the scale? How much will that silver be worth? So that's the value of a pruta. Okay. Mishkol chatzi sara kesev zakuk. So how much do you have? How many prutas do you have to give for pinyin HaBen purposes? You have to give five shkolim. How much are five shkolim? So the Gemara explains that the whole monetary system, like we know, there are five pennies and a nickel and two nickels and a dime, 25 cents and a quarter, half a dollar, dollar. Sure, we know our system. But what's the system of money in the Chumash? So the Gemara says there in Kiddushin, in the first Berik, that you have, Rashi adds it up, it's just plain arithmetic, it's not such high mathematics. They're kuf tzadik beis prutas, 192 prutas in a dinar, in a four dinarim in a sela. You have to give, a shekel is a sela, same thing. You have to give five shkolim. So if there are, and you have to give five shkolim, and each shekel has four dinarim, so five times four is 20. And there are kuf tzadik beis prutas in a dinar, so you have to multiply 192 times 20. 192 times 20 is 3840. So if Pidyon HaBen would have been $38.40, so then it means that if a pruta would be a penny, then it would be $38.40. For many years, a pruta was much less than a penny. It depends on how much the value of silver is. And now silver is much more valuable. So a pruta is much more than a penny. It's more than two pennies. Could even be that it's three pennies. It's I think it's over $100 now you have to. So how much is that? You have to have 3840 prutas. And every pruta is mishkal chatzi seora kesev zakuk. So somebody has to take a lot of barley grains and put them. You have to get, how do you divide it in half? 3840 is a half of a barley grain. So what's a half of that? 3840? 1920. So take 1920 barley grains that seem to be average. So if you have 1920, probably will average itself out. Have 1920 barley grains on one side of the scale, and then keep on putting silver powder on the other side until it weighs. So how much is that? So that's a big discussion. So the Chazon Ish has a lot to say. The Stipler was the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. Stipler married the sister of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish's family had a lot of children. 12 children or something like that, 14 children, I forgot already. So he married one of the sisters. So the Stipler put out a sefer Shiurim Shel Torah, where he talks about all the weights and measurements and the money and so on. So he says, he quotes from the Chazon Ish a lot, he quotes from everybody, what everybody has to say. And there's a long Bi'ur Agro here, in the beginning of Simen Shin Hei, where he has a lot to say about how much is the Pidyon HaBen. So he says, Mikra Din is really 96 grams of pure silver. And the minig was to round it out to give 100 grams of pure silver. So 100 grams of pure silver years ago Some are of the opinion that Mikra Din, it's 101 grams of pure silver. They don't hold from the rounding out. They say Mikra Din. And the Chazon Ish held Mikra Din is 96 grams of pure silver, and the minhag is to give 100 grams. So you have to find out how much do 100 grams of silver sell for? When does it do? What do you mean? What day does it sell for? So there's a Gemara beginning at Perek HaZohav, where the Gemara says that Al Pidin, everything in the world is divided into two categories, Tiva and Pera. Tiva means cash, and Pera means commodities. So the commodities can fluctuate in value, and Al Pidin, the money stays the same. One might have thought, that the money keeps on changing in value. So the Halacha says not so. The money stays the same. Let's say I smashed up your automobile, and at the time that I crashed into your automobile, I'm out of my mazik. And at the time that I crashed into your automobile, how much was the automobile? Now it's worthless. Worthless. It's not worthless. You can sell it to a junk shop. They'll probably pay some money for it. So kama hushav limka bashuk. How do you establish how much anything is worth? Kama hushav limka bashuk. How much was it worth if you would sell it in that location? Not if I'll bring it to Zimbabwe and I'll sell it over there. Means I crashed into your car in New York City, in Manhattan. How much would the car sell for in Manhattan before I crashed into it? How much would it sell for as a piece of junk after I crashed into it? And that's the difference that you have to pay. So let's say we established the difference, and I don't pay you till 5 years later. And now cars are more expensive. So how much do I have to pay you now? So the halacha says once it's established how much I owe you, so the Gemara says the money doesn't change. The commodities change in value, but the chiv to pay, the Adam HaMazik is chiv to pay cash. So the mamazik has to pay according to kama hushav alim kabashuk at the time of the hezek. Gemara says the same is true regarding pidyon haben. Once you establish how much you have to give, it doesn't change. So what does that mean, once you establish? When did you establish? So that's a major issue. So Rav Moshe Feinstein had a disagreement when the communists took over Russia. And they changed the whole monetary system. So I had a disagreement with some of the other rabbanim. Cheskel Abramsky was one of them, about how much you have to give for pidyon haben purposes. So Moshe says, in 1776, when George Washington was established in Medina, and he established a monetary system, how much was 100 grams, 96 grams of pure silver? So once it's established in Hakamas HaMedina, it stays the same. Even though the value of silver goes up, once it's established, it stays the same, unless there's a major change in the monetary system. So then the new monetary, let's say when the communists took over, so there was a revolution. There was a whole new government and a whole new monetary system. So that's a double portion that you have to change. You have to, so Moshe claims you have to translate. How much was pidyon haben before the communists took over? And then what's the exchange rate between the old system, the old monetary system, and the new system? And then Rav Moshe says sometimes even if there's no overthrow of the government, even if it's the same monetary system, but there's a devaluation or if there's a major change in the monetary system, and this is a discussion in the end of Bava Kamma that's quoted in Hilchos Ribis in Yerbedeya, what's considered a major change in the monetary system and what's considered a minor change? That's Rav Moshe's opinion. So Rav Moshe holds that pidyon haben, if the baby is born in America, so you have to figure out when was the last major change, and you have to figure out in the days of George Washington how much was pidyon haben. And then when there was a major change in the monetary system, what was the conversion rate? And then there was another change at a later stage. Every time there's a major change, you have to figure out what's the conversion rate. If the baby is born in Eretz Yisrael, you have to figure out from Hakamas HaMedina how much was pidyon haben then, and then was there a major change in the monetary system? And then in every country, so come out, the same baby, if he's born in one country, you give one amount. Born in a different country, you give a different amount. That's very strange. The Chazon Ish doesn't hold like that. The Chazon Ish and the Stipel, it's usually assumed, I think, like the Chazon Ish, not like Moshe. Chazon Ish and the Stipel understood the chiyuv to give pidyon haben is chal on Yom Lamed Aleph. That's a machlokes satanoim. V'duyim ben chodesh tifteh. What is stam chodesh amem matur? Stam chodesh is 29 days or 30 days. So when you do the pidyon haben after the day reaches ben chodesh, that's on the Yom Lamed or the Yom Lamed Aleph. So we pass on Yom Lamed Aleph. So we assume that the chiyuv to do pidyon haben isn't chal when the baby is born. Same by chiyuv bris milah. Rav Dov Ola Soloveitchik has a piece where he explains that the chiyuv to do the bris milah is not when the baby is born. The chiyuv to do the bris milah is chal on the yom hashmini, but leil shmini, the night before, and he gives an afkamina lahalacha. Shagazari has about that also. The chiyuv to be mal the baby is on the leil shmini. So here also, the chiyuv to do pinyin aben is when it comes leil lamed aleph, when it comes the yom lamed aleph. So on yom lamed aleph, when the baby reaches the age, let's say when the baby was born, silver was very low, and in between the birth of the baby and yom lamed aleph, silver goes up higher. Or when the baby was born, silver was very high, and by the time it comes yom lamed aleph, it went down a value. So it all depends on the yom lamed aleph and the chiyuv pinyin aben is chal, and it's going to be the same all over the world. How much would 96 grams gold chumah rounded out? How much would 100 grams of pure silver sell for on that day? So in all the countries, it's going to be the same. Whatever's going to be in one country, probably going to be the same in the other countries. You don't have to go back to Sheshis Mebreshis. When was Hakamas at Medina, and when George Washington established the monetary system in America? And once you establish how much you have to give for pinyin aben, every year there's a student that comes to Shiva and he finds out that he's a pchor and his parents never did it, his father never did a pinyin aben, so he does his own pinyin aben. So you don't have to figure out how much 100 grams of pure silver would be worth now. You have to figure out when he was a baby on the Yom Lamed Aleph, how much was Pidyin HaBen at that time? And if there was no major change in the monetary system since then, Salpidin, the money stays the same. That's what the Gemara means in the beginning of Perek Azov. Once you've established Pidyin HaBen, it stays the same. Of course, the bracha is recited. When the father performs the pidyon aben, bracha is recited. The Gemara assumes on the last piece of Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara assumes a bracha b'shachyanu is to be recited as well. The Gemara never says that you say shachyanu when you perform a bris milah. Never says anywhere in the Gemara. The Rambam writes that chiddush. They're not sure exactly what the source of the Rambam is, that every time you do a bris milah, you recite a bracha shachyanu. The Ashkenazim don't have that practice. In Eretz Yisrael, that's the common practice. That they do say shachyanu by bris. In America, by the Ashkenazim, we don't say shachyanu by bris. But by pidyon aben, that's a beferish gemara. That they say shachyanu. You got to figure out how do the chachamim decide when shachyanu is recited, when shachyanu is not recited. That's a big issue. In Itziv, when he completed writing his commentary on the Shiltas as a teenager, he was learning in Valojin from before his bar mitzvah. So when he wrote there, no one was watching. He wrote a whole commentary on the Shiltas as a teenager. So when he completed, so he writes, he wants to raise an issue whether one says Shachyanu upon completion of a Sefer. So he says, well, we have to run through Shas to see when the Chachamim required Shachyanu. So he goes through all of Shas to establish the different Gidorim. What are the Dinim Shachyanu? I think the practice is that people do say Shachyanu when they complete a Sefer. The question is, well, how do you know the Sefer is complete? You always may add something on. When the galleys come back from the printer, he may not be finished. He may decide to change something, add something. I don't know. That's a question. So again, so the pidyon aben should be done after the yom lamed aleph. There is an opinion in the shulchan aruch, an opinion in the rishonim that the average difference between one moilet halvana and the other. The amount of time between one moilet halvana and the other has to do with the pull of gravity, with different things in mathematics and physics. It's not always the same, but the average amount of time between one moilet and the other is chavtes yom yud beishoes tashtzag chalokim. So there is an opinion in the Rishonim that's quoted here in Simon Shinhei that when the Mishnah says v'duim beichodesh tifted, that you wait till after the baby is a month old, it doesn't really mean yom lamed aleph. It means when you have a full 29 and a half days plus Yud Beishos and Tash Tzag Chalokim, a little less than another hour. There are Tatrav Chalokim. There are 1,080 Chalokim in an hour. So it's almost 13 hours. Tash Tzag Chalokim. So there is an opinion in the Rishonim that you can do Pidyon Aben sometimes on the 30th day if it's already if Chof Tes Yom Yud Beishos Tash Tzag Chalokim. So let's say the practice is, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this from the Trumas Hadeshim. If the day of the Pidyon Aben turns out to be Shabbos and Yontav, so our practice is we don't do Pidyon Aben Shabbos and Yontav. Why? So the Trumas Hadeshim gives two reasons. Both of the reasons are very difficult. They're very problematic. One reason, he says, is that it's that it's gzeira mishum mekach hamemkar, that you're buying your baby. Buying your baby. I mean, the baby belongs to the kohen. That's the nusach that we say. The father tells the baby, my wife had a baby boy, and I have to do pinyan aben. And the kohen asks him, but my boy is tvei, which would you prefer to have? Would you prefer to have the money? Prefer to have the baby? So the father says, I'd rather have the baby, and you get the money. So he gives him the money. So the Ramos says, that's our nusach, that we say, my boy is tvei. But he's not yotze if he gives the baby to the kohen. The din is even if the baby died. After the Yom Lamed Aleph, if the baby dies within the 30 days and there's no din of Pidyon HaBen, Pidyon HaBen only gets off the ground, only is chal on the Yom Lamed Aleph. The baby dies after Yom Lamed Aleph, so there is a din, you have to do the Pidyon HaBen. Tosafot just has a suffix whether they say Shachyonu or not. The Gemara says on the last daf there in Psochim, the last piece of Gemara Psochim, that you say Shachyonu. When you perform Pidyon HaBen, Avi HaBen says the Bracha Shachyonu, but the father is Nebuch said. His baby died after Yom Lamed Aleph. Does he say Shachyanu because he's fulfilling a mitzvah? Does he say no, since he said. So because of Taisa's suffix, so we leave out the Shachyanu. The Gemara is very strange there, that Gemara, the end of Psochem. The Gemara says, we know for sure that he says Shachyanu, but we're not sure who says the Shachyanu. Whether the father says Shachyanu because he's performing the mitzvah, he's all excited, he hasn't, this is the first baby he has, Pinyin Amen, the first baby from this new wife. So he's all excited about performing the mitzvah, or the Shachyanu should be recited by the kohen because he's getting the money. Such a contrast. They know for sure he says Shachyanu, they're not sure who says Shachyanu. Very strange. So the maskanas the Gemara finally is, the Hilchus Avi Aben Mevarach Shnayim, the father of the baby says both. Very strange Gemara. So the Chasam Sofer explains, he has a big chiddush. He thinks that Mikra Adin, they both say Shachyanu. That you got to look in that Netziv, the end of his commentary on the Shiltas. What are the different mechayvim to recite Shachyanu? So so the Chasam Sofer thinks that both svaras are correct. Mikra Adin, the father should say Shachyanu because it's a mitzvah that's a very rare mitzvah. And the kohen should say Shachyanu because he's getting all of this money, a big amount of money. And the Gemara's question was, who should say Shachyanu to be Moitzi himself and the other one? Should I say Shachyanu to be Moitzi myself and you, or should you say Shachyanu for yourself and to be mighty in me as well? The Gemara says, Avi Abem Varshtaim, the father says the Shachyanu, and the kohen should have a mind to be Yotze also. It doesn't sound like that in the Gemara. Posh Pshat Gemara doesn't sound like that. That's what the. Usually, when two people share the same simcha that's related, they should have said, Atev HaMeitim then, yeah. I don't know. That's how the Chasam Sofer interprets Pshat in the Gemara. Yeah. An interesting idea. Anyway, so the Pashup Shat is, you're not buying the baby, it's not Mekach HaMemkar. The Netziv, at the end of that commentary on the Shiltas, he likes the Svarno's comment on Chumash. Svarno says that the parents are not allowed to play with the baby until they do the Pidyon HaBen. It's not their baby, as if it belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's if they're a violation of Me'ilah. So this is a few Achrayim picked this up. It's against the Gemara. It's a Beferish Gemara, not so. The first parak in Bechoris, the Gemara has a discussion where the Petach Hamor Koidim Pidyon is an institution of Pidyon. Petach Hamor, Tif de Beseh, you pay the Beseh, or you pay the Beshavyo, you can give cash, the value of the Petach Hamor. If you pay the Beseh, you can give much less than Shavyo. So the Gemara has a machlekes, a beauty, Reb Shimon, what's the din of Petach Hamor Koidim Pidyon? Is it also Bahanu Anat? So one Tana says, of course, we paskin, it is also Bahanu. So Om Tana says, of course it's also Ma'anor. What is Pidyon all about? Pidyon means to remove the Yisar Anor. And the other Tana, Reb Shimon holds also Ma'anor. Reb Yudah says, no. You find Pidyon Aben, the baby is not also Ma'anor. Pidyon is a mitzvah nesina. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're removing. Pidyon Hegdash, you're removing the Yisar Me'ilam. Pidyon, Maisa Sheni, you also, you're not allowed to eat it, Chutz Liv Shalayim. But Pidyon Aben, there's no Yisar that's being removed by doing Pidyon Aben. So it's a Beferish Gemara. So the yes, that kasha, it's a pella. I don't know that it seems like stands for that the baby was also before. So this Truma Sadeshin writes like this: that you're not permitted to do Pidyon HaBen neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif, and you shouldn't do it Erev Shabbos. So you have to do it on Matzoi Shabbos. That's the question: when you do on Matzoi Shabbos, should you do Matzoi Shabbos Saturday night by Lila, or should you do it on Sunday morning, or should you do Sunday afternoon? We're going to have to talk about that soon. So that's the common practice. So the Truma Sadashin gives different reasons. So he says, because it's an Issa Mecha Hamemka, because you're buying the baby. So it's very difficult. You're not buying the baby. What if the baby died after the Yom, Lamed Aleph came? So the Mishnah says, Meisa Beinu after Yom Lamed Aleph, you want Mechayiv to do Pinyin HaBen. You're not buying a dead baby. So Pella. Then he says another Svara, that it's Piroin Hachov. The Gemara says in the end of Masechah Shabbos that you're not allowed to pay up a debt. Let's say I owe money. One of the Rabbanim told me he owed money to the babysitter, to the Goyish babysitter. And it was a short Friday in the middle of the winter, and the babysitter wanted to get paid. A young girl, she wanted to get paid. So the girl said, I'll come to your home tonight on Friday night and pick up the money. So we looked it up in the Mishnah Berurah. So it says in the Mishnah Berurah, even in such a case, you're not allowed to leave the money in a drawer. And tell the girl, money's in the drawer, take it, it's for you. That's also a violation of Piron Achov, even though you're not giving the thing be a dime. So the Truma Sadeshin gives this second reason. He says, since the father owes the money to the Kohen, it's Piron Achov. So the Gemara says, you're not permitted to do Piron Chovas on Shabbos Yontov, also Gzeir Shem Yichto. It's also difficult, it's not really Piron Achov. The Gemara says, Meikir Adin, if you do the Gemara Kiddushin, the first paragraph of Vov says, if you do Pinyon Aben, Matana Manos Lahachzir. So the Gemara says, Mikir Adin Yer Yotze. Gemara says, if you do Kiddusha Isha Matana Manos Lahachzir, give the girl a ring. They say, Ariat Mekudeshesli with the ring on the condition that you give it back. So the Gemara says, it's no good. Question, why not? But the Gemara says, no good. And if you give an Esrig Matana Manos Lahachzir, the Gemara says, it is Alachem, on the condition that he gives it back. And then the Gemara says, if you give Pinyin Aben money to the Kohen, Matana Manos Lahachzir, Yer Yotze. And if I owe $500,000 to the bank and I pay them a matanam anas lachza, I'm yotze. You're not yotze. If it's piranacha, if you're not yotze, if you give matanam anas lachza, how can you say that pinyan ben is a piranacha? It's not a piranacha. You wouldn't be yotze matanam anas lachza. The two girsas there in the Gemara, is there an isa lachatchila that you shouldn't give a matanam anas lachza? Maybe it's Shechata and Bris HaLevi. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Novi that they're mevazen and matnas kuhuna. If you give a matanam anas lahachzir, so you make fun of the whole idea of matnas kuhuna, matnas leviya, is that the Kohanim and Levim didn't get a share in Eretz Yisrael. We have an obligation, and they're servicing us. They're doing the hakrovas hakamanas in the Beis Hamikdash, and they're locking the gates and opening the gates and playing the music and singing the shira b'shas hakarbanas. They're doing what we should take care of. So the Torah says, we have to give matnas kuhuna, matnas levi, chavdal ad matnas kuhuna, matnas levi, gein lachelik menachalima, because they never got a share in Eretz Yisrael. So, so if you're going to give him matanam nas lachzer, he's making litzonis from the whole matnas kuhuna. Shichat and bris alevi. So the two girsas there in the Gemara, whether does that applies to truma. If you give truma matanam nas lachzer, so that's not proper. What if you give Pinyin HaBen Matan Manas Lachzis? And Agamara says you shouldn't do it. The Rambam apparently didn't have that girsis. He holds even Mutta Lachatchila. But anyway, the Gemara says if you did give Matan Manas Lachzis, you're Yotze. So you see, it can't be considered Piron Achayif. It's not. So both of the reasons are very difficult that he gave. But we follow that Truma Sadeshim. We don't do Pinyin HaBen, not on Shabbos, and not on Yantav. So some of the Shach quote, some of the Rishonim would say, If Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, it's already after Choftes Yom Yud Beishos Tash Tzak Chalokim, then you can do the Pinyin HaBen and Erev Shabbos for the bracha. We don't hold like that. We don't follow that. We follow that opinion, the Chumrah, that even if it's already, let's say in the summertime when the days are long and the Shki is very late, so let's say a baby was born 8 o'clock in the afternoon, Pinyin HaBen is always on the Yom Lamed Aleph. That's Pinyin HaBen Bizmanon. Pinyin HaBen Mizman is always on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Yom Lamed Aleph, 28 days is exactly 4 weeks, and 29, 30, 31 means that it's going to be 2 days later. Let's say the baby was born on a Monday. So after 28 days, 28th day will be a Sunday. And after 4 weeks, the Monday after the 4 weeks are up will be day 29. And then 2 days later, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be the Pinyin HaBen. It's always 2 days after when the baby was born. So if a baby is born on Thursday, so Pinyin HaBen, the Yom Lamed Aleph should be on Shabbos. And then all the baby boys born on Thursday are going to have an Esek. You can't do Pinyin HaBen on Shabbos, you have to do Amatzoi Shabbos. So we are choshish for this opinion of Chumer, but not, we wouldn't rely on it Lekula. We wouldn't do the Pinyin HaBen before the Yom Lamed Aleph just because it's after Chavtas Yom If the baby was born in the summertime, late in the evening, a few minutes before the shkia, baby was born at 8 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it comes the Yom Lamed Aleph. So even though it's already the morning, but it could be it's not yet Choftes Yom Yud Beishos Tash Tzak Halakim. So we're choshish lahachmi. You should wait till after that zman. Others hold. Others write. Rameir Arik writes in his Tshuvas. We're not choshish l'kula l'chumra. We ignore that. Just Yom Lamed Aleph. That's all. We don't hold from this opinion at all. But many others are machmir for that. That it should be the Yom Lamed Aleph plus Choftes Yom Yud Beishos and Tash Tzak Halakim. The gear by Ashkenazim is, it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach quotes it, that we always do the pinyan on Ben Bayom. We don't do the pinyan on Ben Balayla. Chacham Avadi has a tshuva. He writes that by many Svardim, the minig is that you do the pinyan on Ben Leil, Lamed Aleph, Zvizim Akdimim Lemitzvahs. And it's even has a tshuva in a Sefer Meshiv Dova, where he interprets a Gemara like that. He thinks that Bismara Gemara, that was the common practice, that they all did the pinyan on Ben Leil, Lamed Aleph. Like Chacham Avadi writes this, Svardish meaning that it's because of Yizmak Dimon Mitzvahs. So our meaning is we wait till the morning of Yom Lamed Aleph. Why do we wait till the morning? So they all say that's absolutely the meaning, but they're not sure exactly why. So they give 7 different reasons why. Obviously, none of the reasons are too compelling if each one gives a different reason. So one of the reasons they give is that it's a better chance that it'll be after Choftes Yom Yid Beshoes Tash Tzak Halokim if you wait till the morning. Okay. Others, the Shach gives a totally different reason. He says the minig is that you make a suda when you have a pinyan aben. It's not the same as a bris milah. He mentioned yesterday by a bris milah there's an inyan of simcha. The Gemara comments that the pasuk in Tehillim sasanach elim rasecha kemoitzi sholo rov is a reference to bris milah, because it says sasanach elim rasecha. Im rasecha means that vayomer Hashem al Avram. It doesn't say vaydaber. When Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mitzvahs, usually it says, "Vaydaber shalom Moshe leima dibur kosha." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu, gave him the mitzvah milah. So the verb that's mentioned in Chumash is "Vayomer." So that's called imra secha. So sasanach elim secha implies that the mitzvah milah carries with it an inyan of simcha. So that's why the proper thing is to have a suda as an expression of the simcha. We spoke yesterday about basav yayin. So the Gemara raised the possibility in the beginning of Ksubas that you should say by the benching, Baruch HaKenu Shal Simcha B'mana, because it's a Chi of Simcha. So the Gemara says no, because of Tzari Deyinuke, so you don't say Shal Simcha B'mana. By Pidyon HaBen, some Rishonim say the baby already is no longer crying from the Bris Milah. It was a couple of weeks ago. So by Pidyon HaBen, you should say Shal Simcha B'mana. So our practice is we don't say Shal Simcha B'mana by Pidyon HaBen, even though there's no issue of Tzari Deyinuke. Because there was no Inyan of Simcha in the first place. What's the Havamina? By Bris Milah, there's an Inyan of Simcha. By Pidyon HaBen, there's Bechla, no Inyan of Simcha. So there's no Havamina. They say Sha Simcha Bimo, no. So why do we have a Suda? Because it looks so secular. You just give a couple of dollars to the coin. Years ago, it used to be, you give an insignificant amount of money. Now you give over $100. But years ago, you used to give money. It was a pretty insignificant amount of money. So just to make more chashivas, to make it a little more ceremonial, so everybody sits down and they wash and they begin the suda, and then in the middle of the suda is just for the purpose of enhancing the kavod of the mitzvah, the kavod of the mitzvah. And then the kohen says, bar piagofen, over a cup of wine. What is he saying, bar piagofen? To make a little ceremony, to make it, to add chashivas to the mitzvah, because it looks like such a secular mitzvah. So the Shach says the reason why the minig is that you do the pinyan aben bayom as opposed to balayla, because our minig is that we make a suda, and the Gemara says in the last perek in Yuma that blind people don't enjoy the food that they eat as much as people who can see, because the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishlei that when you see the food your mouth starts to water. If you don't see the food, so you don't enjoy it as much. So people who eat at night don't see the food because it's dark. So since you don't see the food, so you don't enjoy it. So that's why the minig is to have the pinyan aben bayom, you'll be able to see the food. So in Chosh Mishpat, a lot of the posts can point out, so if you turn on the lights in the hall where you're having a pinyan aben, so Laila Kayom Yair, they quote that expression from Tanakh, Laila Kayom Yair, the nighttime is lit up just like in the daytime. So then you should be able to do the pinyan aben balayla. That's the whole reason why you don't do pinyan aben balayla, because you won't enjoy the simcha. You won't enjoy the food. You have other reasons also. Some achronim on Parshas HaShavua, Parshas Boy, Makas Becheres, Pidyat Amen Ezech Al Makas Becheres. So when did Makas Becheres occur? So everybody says Chatzos VaHibachzi Alayla. So there's a in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, you have the Masechtas Ketanas. So you have there Maseches Smachas. Maseches Smachas is a euphemism. It means Hilchas Avelus. It's called the Hilchas Maseches Smachas. It's written by the Goyim. It's not from the days of the Tanoim. It's not from the days of the Amoraim. It was composed by the Goyim. So sometimes we do follow Maseches Smachas. Sometimes we don't follow. Tosis quotes Rabbi Natam. He says that there's a mistake in the Maseches Smachas. The Goyim made a mistake. But called to Mishena Nozim Megaleach Aleinu Kaimuzer Aleho. So, by way of introduction to Maseches Smachas, there's a paragraph, a hakdama, before Hilchas Avelus begin. So in the hakdama it says that at Chatzari Bachzei Alayla Hashem Hikol Kol B'chor Be'eretz Mitzrayim, they took sick, that they were suffering from Chatzai till the morning, and they died by Yom. No one died by Makas B'choris did not occur at nighttime. The beginning of the Makkah occurred at Vayibachzei Alayla, but they didn't die till the daytime. So since Makkah's Becharis occurred in the daytime, so Zecha the Makkah's Becharis, we should do the Pinyin at Ben Bayom. That's a whopper of a source. That Makkah's Becharis occurred in the daytime. Everybody knows Vayibachzei Alayla. Then they give other reasons. Everybody says, there's a Pasuk, Zem Mishpat HaKoinim Me'esom Me'ezev Chazel, I'm sure it's that. V'nasal HaKoinis Hazroa V'alachayayim HaKeva, Pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. So it says mishpat. So mishpat is bayom. So the Gemara has a discussion. What do you mean? You can only give zrua l'chayim hakeva bayom. You can't give it balaylo. So the Gemara says no. So somehow they took based on that pasuk. They said yeah, mishpat has to be bayom, and you're not yaitze. If you do the pidyon on balaylo, you're not yaitze. Yeah, it's a minig. The minig is that you do bayom. If you have a shas hatchak, so you do it balaylo. I remember there was a secretary years ago. There was a secretary here in one of the offices across the street. His building didn't exist at that time. And the baby was born on Wednesday. The Pidyon HaBen should take place on Friday. And it was a winter time, and there were short Fridays. And they would barely have a minyan coming to the Pidyon HaBen. So Rabbi Schwab told him they should make the Pidyon HaBen on Thursday night. If you have a Shas HaTchak, Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva, that they invited people to come to Pidyon HaBen on the wrong day. The father invited, he got caterer, and he invited everybody, and everybody came there. He invited everyone to come on the 30th day instead of inviting for the 31st day. So then the Kohen came and he asked exactly when was the baby born. So when he came, he found out that it's supposed to be Pinyan Ben, supposed to be tomorrow. So what do you do? So I think they called Ramosha on the telephone. And Ramosha told him, dilly dally till it gets nighttime, till it'll be start serving the meal instead of doing the Pinyan Ben after Hamoitzi, before you start serving. So wait till Tzeisah Kachavim and then do the Pidyon HaBen, Le'al Amar Aleph. If you have a Shas HaTchak, you do. Or let's say the grandparents won't be able to attend, going to Florida, whatever. Okay. So if you have a Shas HaTchak, so you do the Pidyon HaBen, Le'al Amar Aleph. With all the reasons that we give, that's it's just a minig. Mikra Din is not really a problem. The only one that's a real reason is to be choshish for that opinion, that you should really have chavtas yom yud beshuas tash tzak halokim. But again, that's only a humor. That's mikra din, it's not really a problem. Why do we have the pinyin amen? And usually Ashkenazim have pinyin amen late in the afternoon. Why do you have late in the afternoon? Because b'roivam hadras melech, it's a covered, it's a hida mitzvah to have a big crowd when you're performing a mitzvah. So we know if they'll have it in the morning after davening, no one will show up. Hardly anybody will show up. To a bris, they will show up. And to a pinyin HaBen, we know they won't show up. So if you have it late in the afternoon, after work is over, then the people will show up. So the question, which of the two hidurim is to be preferred? The hidur of Zrizim HaKdim El HaMitzvah or the hidur of Roivam HaRas Melech? So the Achrayim point out, the Stechemin has a lot about this, Achrayim point out that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that you can blow shofar in the middle of Chazar Sashatz, either in the middle of Shachris or in the middle of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. How can you blow in the middle of Shachris? You have to blow Shofar after Malchus, Chanis, and Shofar's. They only say Malchus, Chanis, Shofar's and Musaf. So according to the Balamor holds you say Malchus, Chanis, Shofar's by Ma'ariv, by Shachris, by Musaf, by Mincha. So according to the Balamor, we understand it more. Our practices, we don't do like the Balamor. We only say Malchus, Chanis, Shofar's by Musaf. So how can the Gemara say that originally the practice was that they blew shofar and shakra. So the answer is simple. There's no halacha that you say malchus on shofar is a musaf. The halacha says whenever you plan to blow shofar, that's when you say malchus on shofar. So in the earlier generations, it was established that you blow shofar in the middle of shakras because viz magnim la mitzvahs. So they said malchus on shofar in shakras, and they didn't say it in musaf. They said a regular musaf dika shmona esrei with the seven brachas, not nine brachas. Then they changed it. They moved it to musaf. Umar says because of shas agzeres hashmad. So when they moved it, so then we moved the malchus on shofar to musaf. So even when it's Rosh Hashanah, shechol is b'shabbos, we're not blowing shofar at all. Still, since by us our practice is that we always blow shofar in the middle of musaf, so we reserve malchus on shofar for musaf. So the Gemara says they had this toss up: should they blow shofar in shachris? Should they blow in musaf? So the Gemara says, by the time the chazan repeats the chazaras hashatz of shachris, the shul is half empty. The people came late. It's an old minute from the days of the Tanaim. The Balabatim came late to shul. They used to come late in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. The Maram Shik writes that the minute used to be that the Rav held the drasha before Kriyas HaTorah. But then the Balabatim was saying Shmon Esra in the middle of the rabbi's sermon. So they moved it till after Kriyas HaTorah, like on Rosh Hashanah, that the rabbi holds the drasha after Kriyas HaTorah, before he puts back the Sefer Torah. But then the people were still in the middle of Shmon Esri when the rabbi was holding the sermon. So they moved the drasha till after Haknasa Sefer Torah. Some of the Balabatim are still dominating Shmon Esri. You can't help yourself. Okay. So he writes that was the Hishtal Shulas Advar. So so the Gemara says in Masech Rosh Hashanah, the used to blow shofar. The original takana was that you blow shofar in the middle of Chazor Sashatz of Shachris, even though the shul is half empty, because Vizim Akdim and the Mitzvah takes precedence over Beroivam Hadras Melech. Even if they would have instituted to blow shofar and musaf, the shul would be packed by the time it comes Chazor Sashatz and musaf. Everybody's coming to shul is there already. But still, Zizim Akdim and Mitzvah takes precedence, and all the people come late, they'll have to hear shofar later. That'll be their problem. But then because of the Gzeres Hashmat, so that's why they had to move it to musaf, but otherwise not. So you see, Medina de Gemara, that Zizim Akdim takes precedence over Beroivam Hadras Melech. So really, it's not right. It's not proper that the Minig Ashkenazim to do a Pinyin HaBen late in the afternoon. You want to postpone a little bit in order to satisfy this opinion that you want to wait Chof Tes Yom Yud Bei Shos Tashsak Halokim. But you shouldn't postpone longer than that unnecessarily. I remember I once participated in the Pinyin HaBen in a restaurant on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the father of the baby asked me to say drasha before they do the Pinyin HaBen, because it wasn't yet the Chav Tes Yom Yud Beishos Tach Tzak Halak. And then he saw that I was winding up by drasha. So he said, can you please speak for another 10 minutes? Because he wanted to satisfy that opinion of Chav Tes Yom Yud Beishos Tach Tzak Halak. Yeah. We post Kiddush Levana, you should be dressed up nicely. So Matzoi Shabbos, everybody's dressed up nicely, everybody's in a happy mood. That's, I guess that's the reason why it says that in Shulchan Aruch. That's the reason why. So it's really not correct. Yeah, the Pischei Tshuva, in fact, writes that there's a Mishnah in Sukkah that it's not permissible to eat a meal before you bench Esrig. Unless you don't see that you're going to have an Esrig. There's no esrog available. So what do you tell a guy? You should fast Tanesim. He's not going to have an esrog. He's not going to have. So he sits down and he eats. Then it says in the Mishnah, if in the middle of the meal, they bring him a dalad ninim, so then it's a discussion. It should be mopsik in the middle and shake the lulav in the esrog. So from that Mishnah, they extrapolate that it's not right to eat before you blow shofar. In all the yeshivas, the minig always was in Europe. They used to daven very long. It was a very long davening. On Rosh Hashanah, so they used to make a kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar. So that was a whole hassle. Rabbi Henkin was always opposed to that. He said, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Henkin was the big Pesach in New York before Moshe came along. So he always used to give, he was older than all the Rosh Yeshiva. He died at a very old age. So he always used to give Musar to the Rosh Yeshiva who met him in Chodesh Elul. If he met them within a month before Hashanah, he would always give him Musa, make sure that they don't make Kiddush before. He felt it's better to make Kiddush in the middle of the Tkiyas. They should blow Shofar, And then they should have a kiddush before Musaf. Middle of the kiddush. And there, all the Rosh Yeshiva held is better. You're not eating a whole meal. You're just making a kiddush that they shouldn't be starving during Musaf. So to have a snack is mutter. So the Pischei Tshuva says it's not really right that the father of the baby should eat before he does the bris. The father has a chiyuv to see to it that he has a bris meal. So he really shouldn't eat breakfast. Have a little snack is mutter. To eat a mikra adin is mutter. But to eat a whole meal is not right. So sometimes the bris is not going to take place so early in the morning. So the father really, he knows the moel is coming later, so it's really not right. Then he says, and Pischei Tshuva writes over here by Pidyon HaBen, he quotes the Acharonis also. It's not right that Avi HaBen should eat a meal before he performs the Pidyon HaBen. He's supposed to take care of Pidyon HaBen today. So he should really not eat before he does Pidyon HaBen. So if you're going to do Pidyon HaBen at 8:30 in the afternoon, you're going to do it right before the Shkia. So that's not right.
If you're waiting for the 29 days,
we really hold that the Yom Lamanat. We hold like Rav Meir Arik Rav Meir Adin. We don't really hold like that. We hold that the Chiyav was Chalar and he could have done the Pinyan. You want to do a Chumra, so because you want to do a Chumra, it's not right. So Tehima, we would be Maker like on Rosh Hashanah. We allow Tehima before Yotze the Mitzvah of Tkiyah Shefer. But he really should need a meal. That's what some Akrainim say, quote some Rishonim say. That's the reason why the Chasan fasts on the day of the Chasan, because he's about to perform a mitzvah, so you're not supposed to eat before you do the mitzvah. Once you reach Yom Laman Aleph, then you can do Pidyon HaBen whenever you want. Yom Laman Aleph, Yom Laman Beis, Yom Laman Gimel. Why do we insist on doing the Pidyon HaBen Dafka and Yom Laman Aleph? So we usually assume it's Rizim HaGdim LaMitzvahs, but you're not really missing anything. You're not really... It's not the same as Mila Bizmana is Decha Shabbat. Mila Shla Bizmana is not Decha Shabbat. So Mila Bizmana is the Kima Mitzvah B'Shleimusa. Mashayani can't Pidyon HaBen. Most assume that Pidyon HaBen, there is no Pidyon HaBen Bizmana as opposed to Pidyon HaBen Shalom Bizmana. Pidyon HaBen Shalom Bizmana is just a violation of Zrizim HaGdim of the Mitzvah. Should have really done it earlier, but it doesn't cause that the Mitzvah is incomplete. Some Rishonim say B'Ferish, some of the Ga'onim say B'Ferish, not so. And the Rashash has a shtickle right from Gemara regarding this issue. The din is that if a person is paid, if I donated something to Hegdish and I'm paid it from Hegdish, so I have to give Keren V'chaymish. If someone else is paid it, he only gives Keren. If it's I'm a farmer and I was Mafrish Maisa Sheni and I paid it my own Maisa Sheni, I have to give Keren V'chaymish. If someone else is paid it my Maisa Sheni, he only gives Keren, he doesn't give Chaymish. So some of the Ge'onim, the Ramban in Hilchas Becheres quotes this and he rejects it. From the days of the Goyim, those who learn Kiddushin, there's a Sefer and Kiddushin by, we don't know who the author is, the Shita Lenoda Lemi. I don't think he intentionally hid his authorship, it's just that the first page of the manuscript was missing. So when they printed it, they didn't know who the author was. So it's known as Shita Lenoda Lemi. So the Shita Nandana Nami, he quotes this in the first paragraph when the Gemara talks about Pinyon HaBen. So he quotes this opinion that the Ramban quotes in Hilchas Becheres, that if you do the Pinyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Al Pinyon HaBen Bizmanoi, then you give five Sloim and that's all. If you do Pinyon HaBen Shalom Bizmanoi, then it's your baby, so you have to be Moisev Chaimish. You have to give, Moisev Chaimish means 25% more. Instead of giving five Sloim, you have to give six and a quarter Sloim. Moisev Chaimish. So we don't hold like that. But they clearly are of the opinion that Pidyon HaBen Bizmanoi is a different din. It's a mitzvah more b'shleimusa, that the din of Tosefes Chaimish doesn't apply in such a situation. In the Haggadah we mention that Makas Becheres was done, the Makas Becheres was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Ani Hashem, Ani Hu, Lo Yaldei Malach, Lo Yaldei Sarf, Lo Yaldei Ashlich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'yatzmoi, the Rebbe Shalom did the Makas Becheres. So the Chassam Sofer suggests maybe that's the reason for the Rivosh. The Ramah quotes a Rivosh over here, that Pidyon HaBen can only be done by the father of the child or by the baby himself when he reaches Bar Mitzvah. The Gemara has a long brisa in Kiddushin towards the end of the first parak. So the brisa says, the father of the baby has an obligation to do the Bris Milah on the Yom HaShmini. If he didn't do it, then the Bezin has an obligation. And if the Bezin didn't take care of it, then Kol Yisrael have an obligation to see to it that we do perform the Bris Milah. If no one took care of it and the child reaches Bar Mitzvah, so it's his obligation to see to it that he has a Bris Milah. Then it says in the same price that Pidyon HaBen should be done by the father on the Yom Laman Aleph, and if it wasn't taken care of then the child should do his own Pidyon HaBen when he reaches Bar Mitzvah. Why they leave out the middle point? It should have said Bezin should do. Bezin didn't do, Kol Yisrael should do. Kol Yisrael didn't do, then the child reaches Bar Mitzvah, he should do. So the Rivosh is Medayik from the fact that the two brice, it's all in one brisa. And by Mila it says like that, by Pinyan HaBen, and then say, you see, Pinyan HaBen cannot be done al yedei acher. Pinyan HaBen can only be done by the father of the baby or when the baby reaches Bar Mitzvah. So this is a big, so the Ramah quotes this Chumah. The Shach is not happy about this. And the Vilna Goen and the Bira Agro usually just gives marmakonis whenever for the sources for all the din. He doesn't express his opinion one way or the other. Really, they write in the introduction to the Bira Agro that they had different notebooks from the Vilna Goen. So one of them is called the Likut. So whenever they say Likut Ad Kan, they quote from that notebook. So then he says his own opinion. Usually, he doesn't express his own opinion. Once in a while, he'll say Ayin. Ayin Zohar, Ayin Gemara, Ayin Shach. Whenever he writes Ayin, it means that he's disagreeing. Ayin means look over there, and it's not the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So here on this Ramah, when the Ramah quotes the Rivosh, so the Gro writes Ayin Shach. Ayin Shach means he thinks the Shach is right. The Shach disagrees with the Ramah that you can do Pinyan Aben Ayidei Acherim. Let's say there's no father. The father's a goy. Let's say the father's a goy. So you have to make Pidyon HaBen. So the Bezin, someone else should do the Pidyon HaBen. So there were different Minhagim in Europe. So in Hungary and Galicia, they would follow the Chasam Sofer that they would do Pidyon HaBen. Bezin would do Pidyon HaBen, Beli Brocha, on the Yom Laman Aleph. And then when the child would become Bar Mitzvah, he repeat again the Pidyon HaBen, Beli Brocha. Then some had a minig. The Ramos says you hang a necklace on the child, it should say Eno Podri. That he was not nifta here, Safik Padui, because the Bezin did a Pidyon Beli Brocha, Safik Padui. And then when the child reaches Bar Mitzvah, he does his own Pidyon HaBen, again Beli Brocha. That was the Chasam Sofer, the Bichoshish, for the both opinions. The opinion of the Vosh, that you can't do Aydei Acherim, and the opinion of the Shach. And in Lithuania, the minig was, that's how the Or HaShulchan writes, that's how Rav Soloveitchik said, he remembered Lithuanian war, and the minig was that they did with a Brocha, they would do Pidyon HaBen with a Brocha. They wouldn't wait till the baby grows over. They just followed the Shach. Shach lived in Vilna. Vilna Goyen lived in Vilna. So that was the Aruch HaShulchan lived in Lithuania. So there the minig was, not the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Shach quotes the argument from the Achronim who disagree with the Rivosh. He said, "You never heard of a din of Parei Chov Shal Chaveroi, that the Chov is Parua." Mishnah is in the end of Ksubis that if someone, Reuven owes money to Shimon, Levi comes, a good Samaritan, he pays the debt, can he go ask Reuven later on to reimburse him? All discussion in the Gemara. But everybody knows, the chov is parua. So why can't someone else give the pinyon aben on behalf of the child? That's the question. Is it really piron achov? It's not piron achov. A raya, if you can give him a matanam nasa achsa. So that's a raya machrachas, that it's not a piron achov. It's a mitzvah nesina. So the mitzvah nesina is only on the father, on the child. If there's no father, the child is before Bar Mitzvah, so you shouldn't do the mitzvahs in the scene. Anyway, that's a big machlokes. Kohanim Levim, if the baby's father is a kohen or a levi, the baby's a kohen or a levi, so then there's no din of Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara has a chiddush, even if the mother is a kohen or a levi, so the child, the mishpachosim levi sabos, when the status of the child is determined by the father, not by the mother, nonetheless, since Pidyon HaBen depends on Peter Rechem, so if the mother is a Kohen or Salaviyah, so there's no din of Pidyon HaBen. What if the mother was Nival or Lagoy, or the mother is married to a Goy? So then the Gemara draws a distinction. If she's a Kohenes, who's Nival to a Goy, so the din is Nival or Apostle Apsolo, she loses her status as Kohenes. So then by the time the baby will be born, find the Peter Rechem to Lachamana, but she's no longer a Kohenes, so the child will need Pidyon HaBen. If she's a Leviya and she's living with a Goy, so then her status of Leviya is not cancelled by Nivel or Apostle. So if a Leviya lives with a Goy, a Leviya is married to a Goy and have a baby boy, so the baby boy will not need Pidyon HaBen because the mother is a Leviya. That's what Taisa says, but every Kohen is a Levi also. So if I Nivel or Apostle of Solas cancels Kedusha's Kahuna, but he says it doesn't cancel Kedusha's Leviya. So if she would have been a Leviya, Nivel HaLagoy, the child would not need Pidyon HaBen. So even if she's a Kohenis, so her Kedusha's Kuna is canceled, but the Kedusha's Levi is not canceled. So they say, you see from this Gemara that a Kohen is not a Levi. I think Gemara says in many places, B'choftala become is Nikru Kohanim Leviim. A Kohen says, apparently a Kohen belongs to Shevet Levi, but it doesn't have Kedusha's Levi. They're two different things. And sometimes in Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion whether any given din depends on Kedusha's Levi or depends on Shevet Levi. Cholol is not even a Levi, that's right. Cholol belongs to Shevet Levi, but he doesn't have Kedusha's Levi. The Rosh Hashanah was a Kohen, so it didn't bother him. He said there's no such thing as Kedusha's Levi. There's only Shevet Levi. Kedusha's Levi doesn't exist. There was a Chassidish Rebbe who wrote a Sefer Kedusha's Levi. Obviously he thought that there is a Levi Yitzchak Baditcheva, thought that there is. So we usually, in Psak, we usually assume there are two different things. There's Kedusha's Leviya and the Shevet Levi. So it's possible that when Tosfos proves from the Gemara that a Kohen doesn't have a din of a Levi, he doesn't have Kedusha's Levi, but Shevet Levi he does, he is. So that's the Moshe, there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozim, and Azar in the second parak in Ksubis. Are you Yotze the Maton of Maaser Rishon if you give it to a Kohen? On the one hand, you say, all the Kohanim are Levim, Chof Talib Mekam is Nikru Kohanim Levim, the 24 places in Tanakh. The Kohanim I refer to as Levim. So you see, a Kohen is a Levi. And on the other hand, Tosfos shows from the Gemara the Kohanim are not Levim. So the answer is, a Kohen doesn't have Kedushas Levi, which does exist. We assume there is Kedushas Levi. But it belongs to Shevet Levi. So that's the Machlokes of Akiva, Ablazim, and Azariah. Whom do you give the Maaser Rishon to? Do you give it to one who has Kedushas Levi? Or do you give it to one who belongs to Shevet Levi? So Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. So there's a Prima Godim. By Zewala Chayim HaKevan, the first Chelik Yerideh, the Prima Godim thinks that a Cholol doesn't have Kedushas Levi, but he is Shevet Levi. So you would have to determine which din you're talking about. The Gemara has a din in Bava Kama, of all places. Not all the dinim appear, not all the Hilchas Pidyon HaBen appear in the end of Pchoris and Perak Yesh Pchor. You have to collect all the Gemara. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara, Pchor Shen Nitraf, Toch Lamed Yom, there's no din of Pinyin HaBen. The baby developed the simen treifus. The baby developed the treifus in the middle of the baby survived. He's still alive on the Yom Laman Alf. He'll live another couple of months. But if he developed a treifus, then there's no chi of Pinyin HaBen. What if the baby is a goseis? A goseis, the baby takes sick and he's about to die and it comes Yom Laman Alf and he's holding by the end, but he's still alive. So a goseis is not the same as a treifus. Horgus agoisis is chai misa. Horgus a treifa is not chai misa, because treifa is considered a gabrik tila. Rabbi Kivega just quotes from the Nemuki Yosef on Baba Kama, not Gemara, the first paragraph of Baba Kama, Daf Yud Aleph. What if the baby was a goisis b'diyodim? Shailas came up all the time. The Arabs would shoot, and there would be a little baby, and the baby would be a goisis b'diyodim, and he would die on the Yom Laman Aleph. He would be a goisis. Someone shot him on purpose, and he would be a goyses for a couple of days, and then he would die after the Yom Lamanal. So that's a sveka d'dina. When you learn Baba Kama, you have to figure out what the issue is. Some Rishonim record that the minhag used to be that the kohen sits on a chair and the father stands, because we have a drasha from the pasuk l'mashchul gedula. That the pinyan aben should be done. It really doesn't say anything more about benegiat to pinyan aben. Gemara has it benegiat to eating truma, but the matnas kuna should be given in such a way, should be eaten in such a way, given in such a way that it's bekabadika way.
So Rashi, I think over there, Rabbi Gemara Baba Kama says that nitraf is nehra.
Right.
So then we don't. But if, so.
Tosfos argues with Rashi. Tosfos says if the baby died, however he died, he's not alive in the Yom Laman Alf, so there's nothing to discuss. So Tosfos says, no, Nitraf means he became a trefa. Yeah.
So that would be, then that's how he holds, meaning if the baby would have died before Laman Yom, so then...
If the baby died before Yom Laman Alf, for whatever reason, there's no Chi of Pinyin HaBen. Chi of only starts on the Yom Laman Alf.
Even if Kim made Kal Dechadasha,
Yeah. That's a din midrabbanan, that if a baby's born, you don't know if it's kol hadash, you don't know if it's a full-term pregnancy. So then you have to wait till Yom Lamed to see whether it was a nefel or not. But Pinyin Aben is a din deraisa. It's not because of Kala Chadosh. Even if Bevada Kala Chadosh, the Chiyah Pinyin Aben only gets off the ground on the Yom Laman Aleph. Are you Yotzei? Today everybody talks about the women's issues. Are you Yotzei Pinyin Aben if you give the money to a Kohenes, to a Baskoi? So Tosis in Kiddushin in the first Perek talks about that. Tosis assumes that yes. That it is good. Rabbi Kivega in his commentary on Yeridei writes that it should really depend on a machloikas, and the Rambam writes no. The Rambam lists off which matans tuna can be given by Kohenes and which not. The Rambam writes no. So Rabbi Kivega in Yeridei in the first Chelik Yeridei writes that it really should depend on a machloikas in the Gemara. Yeah. There's a famous Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam writes a Chiddush that just like the Rambam writes that for the purpose of Machtzis HaShekel, the Rambam interprets a Mishnah like that, that Machtzis HaShekel, you have to give whichever is a higher amount. If a half of a shekel is more, how much is a shekel? We said, Kuf Tari, by 192 prutas in a din and the 4 dinarim in a shekel. So you got to multiply 192 by 2 is Machtzis HaShekel. How much 192 by 2 is 384? 384 prutas is machtza shekel. So you have to either give that, or whichever is the higher of the two amounts, machtzis of the matbeh hayotze b'oisa medina. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael they have the shekel, whatever. They call it a shekel. It's called a lira, whatever. So if a half of a lira would be more than 300, what would we just say, 384 prutas, so then you should give machtzis a lira. So the Chochmas Sodom thinks that the same is true regarding Pinyin Aben, and you have to give 5 sloim, so 5 rubles. He lived under the Russians. So 5 rubles is more than 96 grams of pure silver, then you have to give 5 rubles. You have to give 5. Then it points out that it's a Tosfos like that in Kiddushin also. So Rav Moshe assumes that in America they always used to give $5. He claims that he goes back to the days of George Washington. So he claims that $5 was Daiva Hoysa was way more than the 96 grams of pure silver. But the reason why they gave $5 is because it is Chochmas Adam, because you have to give the 5 rubles. Yeah, do you need a Kohen Miyuchas? There aren't so many Kohen Miyuchasim around. Mikra Din, we assume Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha had this, was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega. And he came up with this chiddush. He never visited Eretz Yisrael. Didn't know that there's a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. Nothing to discuss. He was encouraging the wealthy Jews to put up money. We should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We should get Kohanim and Makor Karbonos and Shein. We should just do on our own. We shouldn't wait for Mashiach. So one of the issues was, but you need a Kohen Miyuchas. You have to have a Ksav Yichas, Kohen Chazaka, not good enough. They came up with the chiddush that Kohen Chazaka Avada Kohanim was only a chumrah mid the Rabbanon that Beis Din introduced that you don't permit Kohen Chazaka to be makir karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash, and the chumrah only applied heched de'efsher, heched de'efsher. So if b'zman hazeh you don't have enough Kohanim Yichasim, so we would if we would build the Beis Hamikdash, we would be makir karbonos de Kohen Chazaka. You wouldn't require Kohanim Yichasim. So here we assume like that. We don't require a Kohen Miyuchas for the purpose of Pinyin Aben. We do Pinyin Aben a regular Kohen Chazaka also. Some insisted that it's better if you get some of the Poskim say if you get one of the descendants of the Shach. They assume that the Shach was a Kohen Miyuchas or a certain, not every Rappaport family. Some of the Rappaport families are considered Kohen Miyuchasim, so it's preferable to get a Kohen Miyuchas. But Mikra Adin, we assume Kohen Miyuchas is only Chumrim and the Rabbanon that was introduced by Ezra when they get to the Hakrabas HaKarbonis, and it doesn't really apply to the other deal. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we're learning about what? Challah. Our first is Challah, I think. Tomorrow's Challah, yeah.
Understood correctly. Today we give Pidgin Ben paste the weight of the silver. 100 grams. And we don't have to worry about if anything changed in the monetary system.
No,
we still have to.
No, that's right. Moshe holds like that. We don't follow our Moshe. And the Yom Laman Aleph, I didn't mention. Does it depend 100 grams of pure silver, wholesale or retail?